This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Cautious optimism from the country's economist-in-chief.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The global perspective in a moment. First, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke defended the central bank's infusion of money into the economy and promised to continue those efforts in order to kick the recovery into higher gear.
Improving household and business confidence, accommodative monetary policy, and more supportive financial conditions, including an apparent increase in the willingness of banks to make loans, seems likely to lead to a more rapid pace of economic recovery in 2011 than we saw last year.
Bernanke spoke to the National Press Club in Washington yesterday, just a day before the Labor Department releases its big January employment report, a monthly gauge economists watch more closely than any other. Now, for his part, the Fed chair says he's hopeful the jobs are starting to return.
Recent data do provide some grounds for optimism on the employment front. For example, initial claims for unemployment insurance have generally been trending down, and indicators of job openings and firms' hiring plans have improved.
That Labor Department report, by the way, is expected in just a couple of hours. Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The White House is talking with top Egyptian officials about ways to resolve that country's crisis. That includes a possible immediate change in leadership. According to one bank estimate, the turmoil has cost the Egyptian economy at least $300 million a day in closed businesses, internet commerce, and lost wages. The BBC's Magdi Abdulhadi is in Cairo with us this morning. Hi there.
Hello.
We've been hearing and seeing a lot about how foreign journalists are having a tough time doing their jobs there in Egypt. How are you doing?
You know, I come from this part of the world, so I don't look foreign, but once you're in the square, actually, that the protest movement started, and be surprised how welcoming the people are, especially for foreign journalists. I heard it with my own ears, saying we welcome foreign journalists because they tell the truth. But outside that area, of course, it is not entirely safe.
What about the banks over there that have been shut down now for a week? We're hearing that they're going to try and reopen this weekend on Sunday. Is that still the case?
They could let the country run again if they want to, if there is a political agreement at the top on how to proceed. And my reading of it, that there doesn't seem to be such an agreement. There is still a conflict of some kind of how to go ahead. The entire economy has more or less ground to a halt. This country relies, for example, to a great extent on tourism. I've spoken to middle-ranking businessmen who says, well, we're not doing anything. And hence the urgency of the state to try to get the economy going again, because it's in their best interest. But without a political will to find an acceptable solution, acceptable to the people who took to the streets, to the opposition, this may drag on for a while.
The BBC's Magdi Abdulhadi in Cairo, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. European and Asian markets are higher at the moment. The Egyptian stock market still closed, but looking to open on Sunday as well, along with those banks. Stocks in Tokyo bolstered by a deal between two metals companies to create the world's second largest steelmaker. In this country, pipeline giant Kinder Morgan says it plans to raise more than $2 billion in what could be the biggest IPO for an energy company in at least a dozen years. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 20 points to end the day at 12,062.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. By Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect. And by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies.
Voters in Missouri last year passed a new law setting tougher rules for the state's dog breeders. Now some state lawmakers have filed a bill seeking to overturn the law, which they say restricts a growth industry. From St. Louis Public Radio, Adam Allington reports.
Among dog breeders, the state of Missouri is labeled by many as the puppy mill state. It's a reputation that carries some truth. The Department of Agriculture estimates that 30% of all puppies sold in America, some 750,000 dogs, come from Missouri. Sally Rector breeds Jack Russell Terriers. She's a relatively small operation with just 8 breeding dogs.
Right there, that's Cooper. Then next to him is Ace. Then I have Reno.
Rector voted against Proposition B, also known as the Puppy Mill Cruelty Prevention Act. Among other things, the law requires dogs be given fresh food and water daily, limits the number of dogs to 50, and regulates the size of the enclosures they're kept in. Rector says the rules are vague and set a standard that might eventually apply to all animals, including livestock.
You know, who's a puppy mill? Who's got too many pigs, or who's got too many horses, or is that horse's stall big enough? I think that's just a beginning. We don't need any more government regulation.
Opponents say Prop B only passed because of an ad campaign depicting images of sick dogs from a few isolated cases. Republican State Senator Bill Stoffer says the measure won't change anything and will only hurt ethical breeders.
My concern is that we will make it impossible to legally raise dogs in the state of Missouri, and we will drive more dogs underground and create a bigger problem than we have now.
Barbara Schmitz is the director of the Humane Society of Missouri.
I think that the economic arguments are on our side.
Schmitz says the process of churning out puppies as a cash crop invariably leads breeders to cut corners.
And those corners are translating into a burden for consumers who buy sick puppies, a burden on humane societies who literally spend millions every year cleaning up after this industry.
As far as repeal is concerned, Schmidt says overturning a direct vote of the people is something all politicians should think long and hard about. On this issue, she says, the dogs have won. In St. Louis, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And finally, a group in Finland has claimed responsibility for stealing a statue of Ronald McDonald from a Helsinki McDonald's. The Food Liberation Army put out a YouTube video showing the ceramic fast food mascot being held hostage with a bag over its head. The captors demand the company answer questions about corporate responsibility. No comment yet from Mayor McCheese. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
With the economy on a slow rebound, one family of entrepreneurs is starting a business that looks back hundreds of years in history.
We realized that there was a need for a publication for reenactors, a high-quality publication.
I'm Bob Moon, starting up a print magazine in the digital age. That's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.